Okay. Your name, please?
James Cone.
And your occupation or position in life?
Professor of theology and the author of the book Black Theology and Black Power.
Dr. Cone, is black power incompatible with the tenets of the Christian faith?
My viewpoint is that black power is the Christian faith in the sense that black power participates in the liberation of men from political, social, and economic oppression.
What does black theology have to say about God? You say God is black, and that God is on the side of the oppressor. Now, what more would black theology have to say about God?
God is on the side of the oppressed. This basically means that God is identified with the liberating forces in the society. And since the oppressed are the ones who need to be liberated, he must be identified with their condition. Now, what else does black theology say about God? Well, I don't think there is much else to say except to analyze all theological doctrines in the light of this basic criterion, or this basic norm in theology.
Well, now, you use black theology in juxtaposition to white theology. What does white theology say about God?
White theology defines God in such a way that it has a tendency to have no relationship to the liberating forces in society. White theology has a tendency to define God in such a way that the churches can participate in the activities that they are participating in, that is, oppressing black people, without feeling guilty or feeling that they are not being Christian. Therefore, white theology basically is a theology which has defined the Christian faith in such a way that it has no relationship to black people. And all you have to do is to read one book in systematic theology, and you'll find that the problem of liberation and oppression of black people occupies no place in it whatsoever, or very little.
What do you say churches participate in the oppression of black people? Can you give me an example of this?
Well, let us give an example by going back in history. During the time of slavery, churches owned slaves. After slavery, churches supported the separate but equal segregation laws of this country by defining its own fellowship in such a way that you can talk about white and black churches. And even today, it's still true, and we can say that the 11 o'clock hour on Sunday morning is still the most segregated hour. And I think the reason for this is because the churches have not defined their essence in terms of the total community rather than in terms of what race you are a member of.
Well, where do we go there after the white community has understood in some sense the fear and the oppression under which blacks have lived? Then what does theology have to say, white or black, to that predicament?
I'm not sure that whites will understand what it means to be oppressed or black in this country until they are confronted seriously with black power. Because I don't think another man can understand another man until both persons have a power to make the other recognize him. Now, when that happens, real community is possible.
Isn't this also a possibility of ending up with survival of the fittest?
Well, that's always possible, but you will also find that men have a tendency to define community in terms of those things that are most important to the total community where the person is identified. Now, if this is the case, then when blacks and whites get equal power to make each other recognize each legitimate community, then, of course, you might have a possibility of real humanity. Then again, you might have a possibility of destruction. But that's always present, and this is another aspect of what it means to be free.
Let's talk about the word reconciliation. I know you use this word in your book, and I wonder, how man becomes reconciled to his fellow man. How do you see this within the context of black theology and black power?
Reconciliation is possible when both men have the equal power to make the other recognize him. Reconciliation is not possible if one person has power and the other one is powerless. And here my thoughts go right to the thinking of the late Albert Camus in the book entitled The Rebel. He says that it's impossible for the oppressor to really have any communication with the oppressed. The slave and the masters have no communication. And I think this is quite right. Communication, reconciliation is possible when both persons have the power to, as it were, annihilate the other.
To what extent am I, as a white person, responsible for the sins of my ancestors? How much of the past must I bear guilt for?
I think certainly you are directly, or any white person is directly responsible for that evil which he receives direct benefit from. And it is impossible for me to conceive that any white person does not have the status that he has without understanding the whole history of slavery and the history of segregation. Therefore, in the sense that we are people who receive our rewards in the society on the basis of a structured racism, then we are directly responsible. In the sense that we participate in the liberation of these forces, then we are not quite as responsible as those who do not question the structures.
Dr. Cohn, what about forgiveness? Where does forgiveness fit into this?
Forgiveness is a term that has meaning only within the context of a community. Therefore, white people who are concerned about forgiveness but are not totally identified with the goal of the black community cannot expect black people to forgive them. Because forgiveness then comes to mean accepting the way the society treats you in spite of your oppression within it. Now, it is possible for real forgiveness to take place if white people totally identify themselves with the cause of the black community and if it is willing to accept some of the oppression that is inflicted upon the black community.